What's up, everyone? My name is Chris Marshall with my boy, Frank G. We are the hosts of Build the Empire Podcast. Frank G, tell the people what we do.
What's going on, everybody? Chris and I, we discuss established empires while showcasing us building ours.
Frank G, I'm extremely hyped. We've been doing this show about a year and a half. Back in 2018, I tried starting a YouTube series. My first guest was one of my great friends, Greg. Greg, welcome to the show. How are
you? Welcome, buddy.
What's going on? Thank you for having me.
Of course, you know, we've been trying to set this up probably for a year. You know, I must say, I know you since I was 17, 18 years old, one of the longer friends I have. I always known you to be a straight up hustler entrepreneur. You're always doing 5 million things. Mainly you're a DJ. You, obviously own a, or we're going to get into it. An event planning business. You're actually going to be doing my good friend's wedding. So we're going to get into that. Why don't you give us your story, give us your origin, and let's roll.
So my name is Greg Costa. I'm the owner of Unique Event Productions. We specialize in weddings, but we do everything as far as event production, photo booths, you know, and such. You know, I started DJing at the age of 16. So, I mean, the thing that's 13 years now, it's crazy. That's all I know. I worked for a couple companies and I kind of learned the whole business. I wanted to do something a little bit different, and that's where the Unique name came from. You know, so we specialize in things that, you know, if you're looking to do something a little bit more creative, you know, we kind of mend, you know, your vision and make it a reality.
Now, Greg, you run an event planning business. You're a DJ. What are you first? What do you say you are, number one? Are you a business owner to Unique, or are you a DJ? Are you DJ Costa?
See, like, I don't know. My origin is like the DJing, but then like you evolve into a business owner, because like you can't just stay a DJ, you know, because that's how the business operates. You know, you start thinking a little bit differently.
So that's the next step, you're saying, to own the DJ business. That's how you elevate.
100%. You know, the name of the game is just evolving, especially in the DJ industry. It's always what's next. You know, it started out as just music when I just started out, and then it became lighting, became photo booths, and now it's this whole big production.
So, what do you need to be a successful DJ? Like, what do you? I mean, not even just running your own business, but what does a successful DJ need? What kind of skills?
I would imagine good taste in music.
Well, yeah, well, that's definitely, you know, the first thing. And it's the love of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So if you love what you're doing, you know, you're going to grow and you're going to evolve as a DJ, you know.
Almost in anything.
100%.
But you're like hyping the crowd up. You're like getting everybody pumped. That's got to be exciting.
So, Greg, it's interesting because you have to read the crowd, no?
Yeah, and, you know, every party is different. You know, one thing may go off in one party, and then you go to the next party and it's like, yeah, it's a little flat.
What's that one banger you can always play, though?
Juicy.
I mean, that always goes with the hip-hop crowd, you know?
Doesn't matter.
Even like the younger kids love that.
You know? At a wedding, though, how many times you play the cha-cha slide, and how many times? How much do you hate that song?
I don't like that stuff. That's
those wedding dance songs.
Cuban shovel. You know,
I feel like the Macarena is the only acceptable one. I don't know why. It's just
I feel like the electric slide is better than the Macarena.
I'd probably suck at that one. So I'm not, no, I know, Greg, the Macarena.
Greg,
so I was never a dancer, so that wasn't, you know, like I remember, like, you know, the kids that like I DJ with alongside, you know, like they were dancers that became DJs. I was like,
oh, okay,
you know, so maybe that's where I kind of differ.
Greg, when you have a customer. Customer calls you up. They want to do an event with you, Unique event, right? Do you have a track list that you present to them? Do they tell you a track list? Like, how are you creating the 4 hours of music?
So, I mean, obviously you have your expertise, you know, like what's going to work, you know, what you think's going to work, you know, and then you kind of go from there. But, you know, we work with our clients. So pretty much we give them a sheet. We find out like the genres that they like, more importantly, the genres that they don't like. So we know like what to stay away from, you know, and then like those special songs. And like, what I think is a little bit different is we kind of try to like find out, like, say you love Juicy, right? Why do you love that song? You know, like,
because you can hit a nasty note.
Yeah, but
you had to go.
but maybe, like, you know, the groom was in a club and Juicy was on, and that's where he met his bride. You know, so like, we kind of try to take it to like the next.
You fun? Okay, yeah. You get more.
He's
you
painting
get deep.
A picture. Yeah.
A lot of people just think of like DJing as like, you know, you're just playing music or like you're making announcements, but so much more than that, especially at a wedding, because like you're literally, you know, playing their love song for four hours. You know, you're painting their story.
So yeah, my cousin actually, I just went to a cousin's wedding and she told me, she told the DJ absolutely no Ed Sheeran.
Mm-hmm.
If he came on, their wedding would be ruined. That's literally what she told me.
And that's where like the creativity comes in, because it's like, you know, sometimes like some DJs like know things that will work.
Mm.
And it's like, you got to move around, you know, those requests or those do not plays.
Yeah.
Still, you know, so that's where it kind of is like.
So Greg, what is the most frequently asked artist, I guess, in today's era in which you play? Is it too hard of a question because there's so much music?
See, it kind of varies, because like sometimes you got the people that like, you know, like I know like Pitbull was big for like a little bit, you know, he's sizzling out, you know, Bruno Mars was big, you know, sizzling out. So it kind of goes in waves.
You have to keep up with the latest trends, kind of.
100%.
Yeah. People want what's new, what's popping.
I mean, you also have to keep up with the latest trends and what's needed from a equipment standpoint at weddings, such as lights, visual, smoke, you know, photo booths, which you have a lot of equipment to host on.
Of course. And, you know, that's where it comes into like the always evolving, because you never want to get left behind. You know, you always want to be like that, you know, that guy that, you know, if they're looking for something specific, you know, you could fill that void. Mm. You know, I mean, I've done everything from, you know, dancing on the clouds, you know, snow, you know,
the snow, like coming from the ceiling down.
Yeah. So it's like a snow effect.
Never seen that.
Yeah. It was great. We actually didn't offer at the time. And, you know, she went to a wedding. And I say it all the time, I was like, listen, if you guys want something, you know, let me know. I'll see if I can get it done. Right. She wanted for the first day, and she wanted snow because it was a winter wedding. It was in February, you know, so we actually went out, you know, we educated ourselves in it, and we went out, got some snow machines. And for the first day, she had dancing on the clouds. They had sparklers, and then they had.
Time out, Greg. You're telling me that your client wanted something and you went out and bought equipment to get that done?
100%, because that's what we do. Like I said,
that's a great answer.
That's what we do. Like, we're not just DJs that play music. Like, I'm saying, like, the love story, we're like Bob Ross. You know, we paint your picture. For real.
Nice reference there. man. I mean, you're right, though. That's nice, to be honest, because you're kind of.
I don't get the reference.
You know who Bob Ross is?
Nah.
Oh, what in the world?
Well, that's why you don't get the reference.
Clearly. I feel like I'm lost.
Well, in the modern world, he's a meme and famous painting. He's sitting there painting something with like one of those.
I tell you, either half our audience really sides with me here, or
maybe everyone. With you. If they're young, maybe not.
I guess we'll see.
All I'm saying is, you tell me what you want to be painted, and I paint it for you. You know, that's the name of the game that we're in.
You know, pleasing the customer. That's how it is everywhere, right?
100%. You know, because it's not – we're really in a customer service, you know.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like you said, it's a wedding is probably one of the most expensive events anyone will ever pay for in their lives.
100%.
You know, I was trying to counteract that just to play devil's advocate, but that probably is accurate.
Yeah, that's why I said event, not like a home.
Well, that probably be considered an event. Greg, I have to ask you this, because this is going to be great content here.
Okay.
Tell us the most awkward, embarrassing story of you in the business.
Most awkward, embarrassing.
Doesn't have to be your business. It could be you working for someone. I know you have. You have to have, I mean, if if the bride says don't play this, maybe it actually accidentally slipped up.
You know, so actually I was doing,
you see, I pulled it out, right?
Yeah. I mean, see, it's like in business, like you just try to make it like everything's all gravy, but you know, you have those little hiccups. And I don't know, for me, it just stuck out. It was, you know, I was playing a mother, a song. It was like, I was getting in the game, you know? And it was
young Greg.
It was a small wedding, maybe 50 people. Small hall, like a Knights of Columbus type of thing.
Oh, you know? Not the type of mistake you want to make.
Yeah. It makes sense in the beginning
of your career,
though. Yeah, I was young. I was thrown out by one of the companies I was working for, you know. And it was just like, it was supposed to be like a nice sentimental, like mother, son type of dance. And it was like, it was Lone Star, Amazed by You. And that's like pretty much like very like an intimate, like husband wife song. So like at that point, like I just thought it was like a nice slow song.
Jesus. Wow. That kid had to hate you.
Oh man. I had to pull that out of him.
Yeah, they laughed it out, you know, and I was young.
They had no choice. You were the asshole.
Did they say something to you or just
they
hit
didn't
you
say
like
anything, but you could just tell by looking at it, you know, just the laughing.
But wait, you didn't listen to the song prior?
I was very young. I started at 16. I was thrown into my first events at 17, the company I was working for. So okay. I only had a year experience and it wasn't, you know, anything, you know, insane, but that's, you know, where you get your expertise.
Experience. Yeah,
exactly. You know, you don't get the best wins from without losses.
So,
yep.
Pressure creates diamonds. You're the one who told me that back in 2018. We were going to Hoboken while you did a set. So I do remember that.
No diamonds. That's it.
Yeah. I got to ask you this, Greg. You know, obviously you evolve and you have to be passionate to evolve and to be consistent. I mean, Frank and I, we know that very well. So do you. Clearly, it seems essential for you to work in the business and then pick up all the cues to then create your own business. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that journey?
Hold on. So get back to that point real quick. So pretty much the journey to what?
To you owning your own business. How long did it take you to work for other people to really understand the whole industry to be like, you know, I got this.
See, like, that's the thing, though. Like, it's like you always think that you're good and it's always a learning curve because everything's constantly evolving, you know. So I worked for a company from 16 to 19, smaller company, and I got a lot of my DJ experience there. I went to another company from 19 until 23 was when I started Unique Event Production. So that's where I learned more of like the MC work and somewhat of production, but they didn't do too much production. But I did, you know, get my...
Do you MC now or do you outsource it?
So I primarily would like to be your DJ. There's people that have heard me MC and they like my style of MCing. So I tell them either I could be your DJ or I could be your MC. I focus on just one just because it's such an important aspect of your day, both of them, that I know that there's DJs that do it. I do one or the other. So you choose if you want me as your MC or your DJ. That's it.
You know, and if they said they want you as both, you would say, you would tell them this.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much like, I think that, you know, it's something that you really don't want to really... Not like, I'm trying to think of the word that I'm looking for. Like,
well, you're not trying to like shove it off as like a responsibility, but it's you want to make sure what you can do is part is like to or, the correct
or exactly. Overwhelm and to your, himself and to your best and dilute his product.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I could do it for like a smaller event. You know, you're not looking for more of like, you know, like first dances, introductions, everything like that, because especially nowadays, what they're doing is for introductions. They're doing a song per
couple.
Yeah, exactly. Where it used to be like the bridal party had one And then the parents had one, they had one, so you're playing three or four songs.
Mm-hmm.
So
right off the rip, you're doing using 15 songs.
Yeah. And not saying that it can't be done, but it has to be done correctly. And, the room for error is so slight that, it's a very expensive day.
Flipping that back to the DJ, Greg, do you ever just go in your office or wherever you practice and do your sets and just fuck around and just
you gotta watch your headset. We're crackling here.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's what you kind of get into it for, is the love. So I mean, you always got to go back to your craft and kind of like test things out too, because you don't want to be testing things out at a wedding.
No, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think this might work, but I didn't really test it out, and that's kind of like where you get your recipes, where it's like, all right, cool, that worked out. Let me try that, let me see if they'll go with this. I liked it, let me see if they like it.
Are you comfortable right away doing that? Like just events in front of random people?
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing it for so long.
But I guess you may not even remember, but I'm sure at first it was probably nerve-wracking.
Kind of like public speaking.
100%. Yeah. I still have I remember the first time I ever emceed was an engagement party, and I had to record it to send it to my boss. Like, he kind of just like threw me out and was like, all right, record it and then we'll see how you do. Instead of I'm kind of like the opposite. I'm like, I want to see how you do first and then I'll send you out, Mm-hmm. I'm more about the quality. But you take that microphone and your hands like shaking and you feel it in your voice. And that's public speaking.
Give us the story of when the crowd was the most turned up, that like you felt godlike.
See, I have a lot of weddings that are like that. So it's like it's kind of hard to like pinpoint just one.
It sounds like once you reach a point, they're all the same.
No, I mean, like, there's, you have different types of, like, people that it's like that, you leave and you're like, you're still ready to go. You're like, I could go, another hour
old. Go to the club yourself.
Yeah. But, that's the thing, too, especially like post-COVID, like, a lot of people are just ready to party,
Yeah.
So, not saying that it's like, I think they just have like that built up energy that they're like, before it was like, all right, you had six weddings and, they're coming, as a guest, I got to go this way.
Well, I would imagine that energy is coming back. I mean, with COVID, your particular industry got slaughtered, right? So now it's coming back around. I would imagine the excitement, you must see that.
Oh, 100%. You could just tell, guests are ready to go, 15 minutes in.
Yeah. I mean, I have two weddings in October. So like they're happening.
You have dates? Yeah,
Thursdays, Mondays, they're all ready to go.
You may or may not.
I may. Why are you trying to come? Like,
sure.
I already have a plus one. So let me ask you, Greg, it seems you have a lot of things you like about DJing. Is there something about the industry or whatever that you dislike?
Oh man, the setup and the breakdown.
The setup and the breakdown of that makes sense.
It's long days, man.
That makes sense.
With the a 4-hour wedding, but you don't see what goes into it. Because
how much manpower is required?
It depends on the setup. So I mean, if you're talking like we had mirror photo booths, that are large, I mean, they're a lot smaller than the old photo booths, but they're still large, TV screens, TV custom made booths, so I mean, depending on the setup, you have a large setup, we're going from, your DJ MC and then an extra 3, 4, 5 guys, depending.
So what's like the back of the house look like? Is this all like stored in a warehouse, in a house, in like a van? Are you mobile usually? You have your own car, like van with it?
Right, so, got his own trailer.
What happened?
I said you got your own trailer.
Trailer with the logo on it, huh?
Yeah, we still got a logo it up. But yeah, I mean, we have our storage, we actually right before COVID, we actually did a home office, which was kind of like a blessing, because We did a home office.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because now you're working.
And everything's shut down.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like a blessing in disguise, you know, and we're still kind of like teetering on some things, you know. So, you know, we're taking a look, you know, to look opening a new office. But, I mean, we have everything covered from your office, your storage, you know.
Now, Greg, from a sales point, I would like to think that you're one of my better friends at sales. Only because you annoy the shit out of me when it comes to football pools.
Sometimes it's just a numbers game,
and,
you know?
And it is 100% a numbers game, always. And you understand that. But when it comes to this particular industry of, you know, event planning and production, a lot of it, I would imagine, has to be referrals. But there is marketing involved. What do you do? What exactly do you do to kind of target your demographic?
So actually, tomorrow, we actually have a wedding show at the Southgate Manor. So we do a lot of wedding shows. A lot of it is referrals. We also do work with a lot of vendors. So, you know, we recommend vendors that we enjoy working with, and then they do the same, you know, and we're lucky and fortunate enough to be on a vendor list as far as event planners, photographers, and also venues. So it comes in from, you know, different avenues where we're able to meet clients, you know, through the years. You know, we're in business for 6 years, you know, we've grown us to that point. It's just a very, like, it's a different sales point of view, because it's not like, you know, it's not like
I'm going to catch them when they have a wedding.
Well, you're building a relationship. You're building a relationship. Well,
yeah, exactly. You know, like, we don't give you a plastic bag that says thank you, you know, giving you a receipt. You know, it's a little bit different. It's really like we keep in touch with our clients like well after their wedding.
Of course.
You know, where they have us for their first birthday party, you know, their kids' first birthdays, you know, growing into like all of their family moments, which is pretty cool, because like you kind of see like your relationship evolve, you know, and you're interacting with them, especially through social media. They're interacting with you, you know, it really is, you know, such a different sales approach. It really is. It's a relationship.
Yeah.
Well, it does seem like a business that's compounded by time. Frank, go ahead.
Yeah. I agree with that. I mean, cause you're, like you said, word of mouth builds your service builds, and how well you do it is the word of mouth part. And why would people not refer you? Didn't you say yourself that he's doing a friend's wedding? I don't know. I'm assuming you may have referred him.
Yes. Correct.
There you go. That's how that works.
Greg, you'll do my wedding, pal.
Sounds good. So I don't know when and where. I'm there.
Maybe sooner than you think.
Frank, shut up. I was waiting for it. Guy. Frank, I'm going to throw, what would you rather do here? Would you rather do a 400-person wedding off your company, or would you rather DJ like a nightclub and have like a set?
So I actually do both.
I know you do both, but which one would you choose if you had the option? And like, let's leave money out of the equation.
No, I know. So it depends, because like you get to just have those like crazy like wedding, you know, parties. That's like a club. You
know? Weddings are great. Weddings are great.
Yeah, weddings become like clubs.
It can be expensive, but they're great.
I like, say, like a club, you take your laptop, you go in, and then you're feeling out the entire room, and you're creating that vibe with music. With weddings, you're doing it, you know, with
and there's and family, friends, like the closest of people around.
I choose the wedding, you know, industry over the nightlife. That's just me.
Well, it's fascinating, because I'm just beginning to learn that the nightlife industry and DJs, there's like obviously rules within the industry where, you know, somebody who goes, you know, the first DJ, his set can't be like songs within 2 years that just came out. Right. Isn't that how that kind of works? Like, you have to play older shit.
Well, I mean, no, not necessarily, but you don't want to step on like the openers. I mean,
the main event.
And you don't really want the crowd to be popping before.
I mean, that sucks for that.
Yeah, I mean, you want to set the vibe. So, I mean,
don't get the crowd too hyped up.
Now, well, I mean, you want to lead it to that, you know,
yeah,
you
want to have that headline. The big like, entrance. Like.
Exactly. And that's where like working with other DJs, like it also puts you in a different perspective because like you're kind of like going through your mindset. And it's like, all right, cool. I'm looking for this type of vibe. What am I going to play here? And how am I going to introduce the headliner without playing something that, you know, he's going to play? So it's teamwork, right? And knowledge. So it's
ironic and funny because I've seen some of the best DJs in the world DJ. And I was so drunk, I would ask my friend when they're coming on and it's already passed. They left. They came on, but I had no clue.
Well, so, I mean, some of them are on, some people are on for like 20 minutes. I feel like maybe that was just DJ Khaled that one time.
Yeah, I mean, do nothing. Sometimes you vibe with the opener and the closer a little bit, you know.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I mean, that's
because they're playing that right, you know, that right term music that you wouldn't expect, and all of a sudden, you know, like, hey, a club version of you know, Mr. Brightside just came on, and you're feeling it, you know, and you're going back to like, you know, back when you were a kid, and you're like, oh shit, you know.
Yeah, I want Drake. I feel that one. You watch Drake.
How much Drake do you play?
It's got to be a ton. He's the most popular man of the world.
Greg, Frank wants to be Drake. In fact, Frank, ask Greg that question. Who would he beat up?
All right. So if you could change lives with one person, who would it be? But you have to beat them up. Or actually, you pretty much have to kill them. You have to be able to...
From like a DJ standpoint, like
that makes sense. Like, go after Steve Aoki.
No, Jazzy Jeff.
Oh, he's frail.
I'm curious if that's why he said it though, because you could easily beat him up. Like I'm thinking Drake, but Drake's 200 pounds. Like,
and wait a second, Greg. Do you really want to be Jazzy Jeff? He's not exactly in his front.
Yeah.
Oh, it's okay because he'll. Obliterate any DJ.
All right,
now I've seen him live. He's insane, and this was like 2 years ago.
You could tell you love the DJ gig.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like love Justin Bieber, but I chose Justin Bieber.
I chose Joe Biden. Yeah. I figured it would be an easy win.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna get into it.
Yeah,
I don't want to be him. I wouldn't remember where I'm at right now.
That is probably true. I tell you though, if you were him, you could definitely do a set to all of America.
That is a fact.
If you were to play one song for like an outro, what would you play?
The last song type of thing?
For context of this show, for this podcast.
So like, I can see like some like Jay-Z vibes in out here. Like, you know, like a little like millionaire, billionaire type of vibe on the way out.
I'm bumping right now, just in case we add the music.
You know, a little cinematic on the way out.
I like that.
Greg knows.
I'm all about the story. That's it. You know,
he knows the crowd too. He knows the crowd.
Yeah, you know, there's no cookie cutter. You got to see how everything is.
Greg, when are you going to have another polka night?
Oh man, we got to do it on a Friday when things kind of like slow down because the business is booming right now. You know, everything's
That's good to hear. You also have like four jobs. I mean, like I said earlier, you hustle almost more than anyone I know. For anyone listening, Greg hosts poker nights and he purposely gets people drunk to take their money. I know his game.
I'm never the big winner, 100%.
I have to say, since we've talked about poker, I was a big winner once.
See?
I was only there once.
You were there probably twice.
All right, I guess I got too drunk that first time. I don't remember.
Hey, Greg took your money.
It was me. Like Shaq said, it wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
How often do you play that?
That's a good one, though.
That is a good one.
I tend to do this thing where it's like, all right, if it kind of like sneaks in.
You already doing that. Like
it, He's doing it.
You got to have some like personal enjoyment too, you know?
Oh, of course, man. You got fun.
I got to be honest. I feel like at a wedding event, Angel would be more of a song than It Wasn't Me.
I used to be like my, you know, like go-to type of thing. You know, I kind of like, I haven't really played it that much now, but.
Well, it wasn't have go-tos.
Well, oh, yeah.
It wasn't me, like the younger crowd even knows that. So that's where it's like.
It's also technically about like cheating.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know how, who wants that at their wedding, but it is a good banger.
No, I don't really play it at like weddings. I'll play it at like different events.
Yeah.
Like, like a club bar type of thing, you know, like a little opening set.
That makes more sense.
He very nicely, subtly was like, I don't play that one at weddings. Are you crazy?
Yeah. So, you try to like stay away from like the stuff that's like, you know, like cheating. You want to stay with like the love.
Or where a mom, you know? And dad are like romantic, a mom and a son are romantically dancing to a song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I learned my lesson at the age of 16.
I tell you, the fact that you even had that gig and position at the age of 17, 16 is already kind of awesome. I mean, who the fuck is doing that at 16, 17?
To be honest, ironically, I also had a friend in high school. And maybe you know him, Steve Calshone, DJ. But he just got into it. We did a music thing for like in 10th grade, and this kid just took off. He's like, I'm going to MC now. Like, we did a little event in the classroom, and he just became an MC DJ.
You were involved?
I was in the event. I didn't do anything afterwards.
What role did you play?
You wear a suit, so you, you like walk down the runway.
In fact, I was a model once, and I had to do this in my marketing club to get an internship. My marketing professor was like, do you know a DJ? I was like, matter of fact, I do. I got Greg. He did the whole show. Greg, do you remember what song I played? I walked out to?
I remember somehow.
Do you?
All the lights.
Flashing lights.
Flashing lights.
Funny, bro.
Flashing lights. I knew it was something lights. That's just funny, man.
You know what? Greg got me an internship which led us to Gerald, which I guess led me into sales.
That's another great thing that I guess is one of the last things we're going to tell the people in this episode. You and Greg been through a lot.
Greg and I has been through a lot. Greg, I appreciate you. I appreciate our friendship. I can't wait to see where it goes. Hopefully I have you at my wedding and you're going to rock out. I guess it's going to be sooner or later.
Oh, man. Should be
Greg,
a good time.
Anything else to say?
I mean, I just—it's always a good conversation with you, man. I appreciate you coming on. I don't have a wedding coming up for myself, so I can't invite you to DJ it yet.
Frank usually talks to like 13 women.
You never know how many.
I mean, I appreciate you thinking that highly or that skilled of me to be able to talk to 13
women. His own penis. It's one of the other.
Hey, where's Frank? He's just walking around with his arms like this.
That's my boy.
don't boost his ego, Greg. We're gonna ride out. We're gonna put this Jay-Z song on. We're gonna ride out. Greg, it's always a pleasure. I hope to link up with you soon, man.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Of course, buddy. Peace and love.